turn to the book of John, chapter 1, book of John, chapter 1. We'll read the first 16 verses. John chapter 1, verses 1 through 16. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. It's referring to Christ. The same, that is, the same Word, was in the beginning with God. All things were made by Him, and without Him was not anything made that was made. In Him was life, and the life was the light of men. And the light shineth in darkness, and the darkness comprehended it not, did not understand. There was a man sent from God, whose name was John. So this is something, this is a different person than the Word. The same, that is the one mentioned in verse 6, the same came for a witness, to bear witness of the light, that all men through him might believe. He was not that light, but he was sent to bear witness of that light. That was the true light, which lighteth every man that cometh into the world. He was in the world was made by him, the world knew him not. He came unto his own, and his own received him not. But as many as received him, so there were some who did, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name, which were born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. And the Word, that's the Word that was spoken of back in verses 1 and 2, was made flesh and dwelt among us. And we beheld his glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. John bare witness of him and cried, saying, this was he of whom I spake. He that cometh after me is preferred before me, for he was before me. And of his fullness have all we received, and grace for grace. The main thought of the message will come, or will center, around two words there in verse 16. His fullness. It speaks of the fullness of Jesus Christ. And that is a very wonderful and glorious thought. The fullness of Jesus Christ. We live in a barren world, spiritually speaking, a place of spiritual emptiness, a place of void. So those two words, his fullness, in light of that, take on very, very special meaning. Solomon, who had everything that the world and life could offer, looked upon it all and declared there in Ecclesiastes 1, verse 2, and also chapter 12 and verse 8, vanity of vanities. That was his description of the world. Those words, vanity of vanities, stand in stark contrast to his fullness. What a difference. Vanity of vanities and his fullness. We need to ponder those words, his fullness. We need to be very mindful of those words, his fullness. In light of the futility of the world, in light of the needs of humanity, how wonderful those words, his fullness, his fullness. Notice that in verse 16, there are two pronouns, his and we. And they both have a relation or a connection to the word fullness. It is His fullness, it's not ours. But it is His fullness. But there is a link to me. There is a link to us. His fullness, we. His fullness, we. We need to live in the reality. We need to live in the experience of His fullness. His fullness, we. There should not be a disconnect between His fullness and we. There needs to be a connection. So we want to speak tonight on living in the reality of His fullness. First of all, these are just the two words, His fullness. Those are unparalleled words. It's a great deep that cannot possibly or cannot be fully explored. You and I cannot possibly explore everything there is to explore about His fullness. But it is something that we ought to try to grasp the meaning of more and more every day. In order to obtain some grasp of the depth of these words, His fullness, consider what Paul wrote concerning His fullness over in Colossians chapter 1. Colossians chapter 1 and also Colossians chapter 2. In Colossians 1 verse 19, it pleased the Father that in Him should all fullness dwell. Verse 9 of chapter 2, for in Him dwelleth all the fullness of the Godhead bodily. Now in both of those verses, Paul of course is speaking concerning the person of Jesus Christ. He's speaking about who He is. He is speaking about what He is. In both of these verses, we see the words in Him. In Him. Those two words occur in both verses. So, in both verses, in relation to in Him, he uses the word dwell or dwelleth, both places. Colossians 1:19, Colossians 2, verse 9. So he is speaking of something that dwells or resides, something that is settled in Christ. And again, it's important that we see this. It is in Him. It is in Christ. Now, in these two verses, he twice uses the words, all fullness. He uses those exact words in Colossians 1:19, and then he says, all the fullness in Colossians 2 and verse 9. So we have all fullness. This all fullness is said to dwell in Him. It is this all fullness dwelling in Him that helps us obtain some sort of perception, some sort of understanding of the His fullness that we read about back in John 1 and verse 16. And though we can have some perception of His fullness, and we can have some understanding of it, again, it is a deep that cannot be fully explored. It is a deep that cannot be fully perceived or understood. The word fullness means that, of course, that is very comprehensive. Speaks of completeness and exhaustiveness and all-inclusiveness. By itself, that word fullness is a very expressive word. Just by itself, fullness. But then in both of these verses, Colossians 1:19 and Colossians 2:9, there is the word all. Another very inclusive and expressive word. So you have all and you have fullness. And Paul puts these two words together. All fullness. It's really redundant. All fullness. And he puts those words together twice. Now this is a very, very unusual use of words. All fullness. Because it's very unusual to use them together because each one of them by themselves express something that's complete. Something that's exhaustive. It's speaking of a quantity. One word makes the other unnecessary. If it's all, it must be full, and vice versa. But we also know that there are no unnecessary usage of words in the Word of God. So when Paul writes all fullness, I believe he's using the word all to emphasize the unparalleled greatness of the quantity of the fullness. When he says all fullness, it's really an attempt to express that which cannot be expressed. And it describes, again, John 1:16, his fullness. His fullness is an all fullness. So those two words, all fullness. There's a wealth of meaning in those words. Especially when you view it in light of vanity of vanities. Especially when you view it in the light of emptiness. There is a place. There is a man. There is a person. He is God. And in him dwelleth all fullness. So in the midst of the vanity of vanities, in the midst of emptiness, our hearts rejoice in those two words, his fullness. And then our hearts rejoice in the explanation. All fullness. That there is such a thing as all fullness is wonderful news. For nothing else will meet our case. Nothing else will meet the needs of the sinner. Our needs demand the fullness. Our needs demand an all fullness. And this all fullness is far-reaching. It is all-comprehending. All fullness. There's another way to look at that. Fullness in all. And that's Christ. Fullness in all. In Him is all fullness. He is fullness and He is in all. So it's fullness in all. When you think about the word fullness, it always has reference to something real. You can't have a fullness of nothing. That would be emptiness. So when you say fullness, you're talking about something real. So we read His fullness in John 1:16. It's something real. What we read here in Colossians 1 and Colossians 2 is something real. In Colossians 2 and verse 9, He explains what it is. What is this all fullness? He says it is all the fullness of the Godhead. Dwells in Christ. That is, everything that God is in Christ. Everything that God is. Again, that's a deep that we cannot fully explore. Everything that God is. But everything that God is in Christ. Again, when you think about all that God is, it's indescribable. It's beyond comprehension. So Paul just simply says, trying to again express that which cannot be expressed, all fullness. All the fullness of the Godhead. It says here that all the fullness of the Godhead is in Him, Christ. Again, fullness speaks of reality. Now take it a step further. Whatever contains the fullness must be real also. So if all fullness is in Christ, what is in Him is real. And if it's in Him, He must be real. So we're dealing with reality here. Jesus Christ is reality. Paul tells us that all fullness dwelleth in Him. That word dwelleth conveys the idea of a perpetuity, a constancy. So it is Jesus Christ not only has the capacity to contain all fullness, but He also must have the immutability to retain it because it's perpetual. This is reality. This is Jesus Christ. This is the one that we were talking about this morning. This is the one that we can turn to. This all fullness will never be exhausted. It will never be diminished. And we read here in Colossians that it pleased the Father that in Him all fullness, should all fullness dwell. Now, if it pleased the Father that all fullness dwell in Christ, guess what? All fullness dwells in Him. Because we read in Isaiah 46 and 10, I will do all my pleasure. So if all fullness dwell, if it pleased God that all fullness dwell in Christ, all fullness must dwell in Christ. Because it's God's will. The fullness is real. The one who contains the fullness is real. And again, we ought to thank God because nothing but realities will meet our case. Nothing but realities will meet our needs. And Jesus Christ has the suitability, the ability to distribute the all fullness. It doesn't just reside in Him, but He distributes it. We see that from our text in John 1 in verse 16. So in order to obtain some grasp, we have to view it in light of Paul's words, all fullness. Also, in order to obtain some grasp of the depth of His fullness, we have to go back to our text, John chapter 1, and consider what is said concerning Jesus Christ. So if we go back to John chapter 1, in verse 16, it is His fullness. The one intended in the pronoun His is identified as the one who is centered upon in the verses leading up to verse 16. And seeing His identity, we see the greatness and the extent of His fullness. In verse 1, John is just beginning to set out to describe Jesus Christ. And in doing so, he takes us into a realm that is beyond human comprehension. It's found in the very first three words, in the beginning. Describe that. You can't. It is beyond comprehension. This is where John begins. In the beginning. It is repeated in verse 2. In the beginning. So twice we read those words. In the beginning. Those three words, in the beginning, are beyond our comprehension. In the beginning. That means before beginnings ever began. But describe that. Before beginnings began. In the beginning. Is something that, again, that surpasses thought. It's something that goes beyond the thinking of man. But the one spoken of in our text to whom fullness belongs is before beginnings. So describe His fullness. Can't be done. He is before beginnings. In the beginning, again, that transcends our understanding. But the one spoken of our text, to whom fullness belongs, He's beyond. That person is beyond our full understanding. He is beyond our full comprehension. By that I simply mean you and I may know many things about Christ. We may know many things of Jesus Christ, but we have not even scratched the surface of who He is. And that is so of God the Father. That is so of God the Spirit. So this full, if the person that contains the fullness is beyond our comprehension, then certainly the fullness is beyond our comprehension. Three times in verse 1, the one spoken of to whom the fullness belongs is identified as the Word. It is declared that the Word was God. The Word was God. Well, from that very statement, we learn some things. The Word was God. That means the Word is eternal. It is without beginning. It is without end. It is eternal. You and I can understand without end better than we can understand without beginning. Eternal. He is God. That means He is infinite. He is God, and it is His fullness that is spoken of in our text. What a subject. What a subject. His fullness. In verse 3, John, describing this one to whom fullness belongs, says, all things. All things were made by Him. You and I don't know what the all things consist of. There are things that man will never know. There are things that man will never discover. All things were made by Him. Again, all things, just like in the beginning, we don't fully understand that. We cannot fully comprehend all things. But all things were made by Him. That declares His power, His omnipotence. It also declares His wisdom, His omniscience. All things were made by Him. So He is eternal. He is infinite. He is almighty. He is all-knowing God. And it is His fullness that is spoken of in John 1 in verse 16. And that is why Paul, all he could say was all fullness. All fullness. In verse 4, John, describing this one to whom fullness belongs, describes Him as the fountain of life. All that is included within the scope of life is in Him. You and I don't understand all that's included in the scope of our own life, let alone the scope of all life. He's the fountain of all life. Verse 9, John describes this one to whom fullness belongs as the light. He is the light. He is underived light. We don't understand that. Again, it's a matter that is beyond our ability to comprehend. And it is His fullness that we're talking about. In verse 14, John, describing this one to whom fullness belongs, speaks of His glory. His glory. Remember, He's God. And therefore, His glory is the glory of God. The glory of Christ is the glory of God. The word glory simply is referring to His beauty. His magnificence, His greatness, His perfection of His character. That is why Christ, His deity, had to be veiled. It had to be robed in flesh. Otherwise, no one could stand before Him because of the brightness of His glory. And as we've said many times before, I believe this is what happened when they came to arrest Jesus Christ. And remember, Jesus, I'm paraphrasing, said, "Who are you looking for?" And they said, "Jesus." And He said, "I am He." And they fell backwards. And I believe what He did there was He just unveiled a little bit of His glory. And it knocked them over. And I believe the same thing was experienced by Peter, James, and John to a greater extent. On the Mount of Transfiguration, Jesus Christ, during His earthly ministry, would give little glimpses of His glory. But His glory is so great that it has to be covered. It has to be veiled. Man cannot live. Man cannot stand in the presence of His glory. But we read here in verse 14 of His glory. Again, it's something that is, His glory is something that is beyond the thought of man. His glory is as great as Himself. It's everything that God is. And eternity is too short to measure or to exhaust the theme of His glory. So we think of His fullness in light of His glory. And when we do so, what a subject. His fullness. Notice also in verse 14, it says that He is full of grace and truth. Grace and truth is a part of His fullness. And He's full of grace and truth. But that makes up a part of His fullness. Again, when you think of grace and truth, they too are matters beyond human comprehension. So when we talk about His fullness, again, what a subject. But again in our text, verse 16, in reference to fullness, two pronouns. His, He's the possessor of the fullness. No one else possesses it. He's the possessor of the fullness. And then we have we. We. And in verse 16 we see we are the recipients of His fullness. Notice what it says there in verse 16. And of His fullness have we all received. It does not say His fullness have we received. That's not true. We don't have the capacity to receive His fullness. But of His fullness, some portion of it, we have received. That makes the we here a blessed people. That's you and I that are saved. What makes a blessed people possible is verse 14 and the Word. That same Word that was in the beginning. That same Word that was with God. That same Word that was God was made flesh. And in that flesh, that Word dwelt, tabernacled among us. So the infinite One, in whom all fullness dwells, came to us in a body of flesh. There would be no blessed people if this were not so. If He did not become flesh, if Jesus Christ did not become incarnate, there is no blessed people. The only way that we can be blessed in this way is for Jesus Christ to come to us. And when He came possessing His fullness. He came possessing all fullness. Now, all of those who teach that Christ became less than God when He became incarnate, that's heresy. That's heresy. And, I mean, you really start thinking about that, you have no hope. If He was less than God, you have no hope. The we has reference to, again, the saved. And notice in verse 16, it says, all we. All we. So what is said here is universal among the we. the saved. Again, there are people who try to tell you that the word all has no limitations. Well, that's just utter foolishness. All always is to be taken in the context. Look at all the pews. Am I talking about every pew in the world? No, I'm talking about all these pews. The word all is in context. And the word all here is in context of we. So all we. And we have received, notice what it says, of or out of His fullness. All we receive, and of His fullness have all we received. To receive is to be given something. It is to be the recipient of something. We are the recipients of His fullness. Describe the blessing of that. You can't, because you can't describe His fullness. We are the recipients, we the saved, of all fullness. We don't have all fullness, but we have received from His fullness. So all the saved have been given something out of His fullness. We are the recipients of it. We are the beneficiaries of it. Yet, He is no less full. How many people have been saved from Adam to present day? Who knows? Only God knows. But by the time we get to heaven, it's an innumerable multitude. And what that means is you can't count it. And every one of those individuals have received of His fullness. Every single one of them have been the recipients of His fullness. Yet, He's no less full. He's no less full. And when the last sinner receives from His fullness, guess what? It'll still be all fullness. It cannot be depleted. It cannot be diminished. Verse 16, and of His fullness have all we received. It is a personal reception directly from Christ. And what we have received of His fullness cannot be received anywhere else. Why can't it be received anywhere else? Because it doesn't dwell anywhere else. It's only in Him. It's only in Him. And as we said this morning, He's the one we can turn to. He has all fullness. The object of received, again, is all we. And that's passive voice. That is, we're being acted upon. And that is described in verses 12 and verse 13, how that comes about is by His power. So all of this that we have received of His fullness puts us in a very humble place. And of His fullness have all we received. This is something that makes a radical difference in our lives. When we receive of His fullness, there's a few things that we experience. We have the experience of our own emptiness. before we receive of His fullness. We also have the experience of receiving. Can you receive of His fullness and not know it? I don't think so. The discovery, and another thing we experience is the discovery that all we receive is of grace. Read it again, verse 16. And of His fullness, that's the same all fullness in Colossians, have all we received, and grace for grace. And what that means is grace upon grace. We don't receive it because we merited it. We receive it because He is gracious. Because He favored us with it, with His fullness. So we that have received, it was by grace. But you know what? You and I that received of His fullness, have we stopped? No, we haven't. We continue to receive of His fullness, and that's just grace upon grace. I love those. I love that thought. Grace upon grace. Grace upon grace. That's my whole life. That's your whole life. It's just one gracious act upon another. That's why we're here today. Because it's just one gracious act upon another that God has bestowed upon us. So we thank God for His fullness. But we thank God that we can receive it. It's a fullness that's beyond comprehension. And you and I, sinners, can receive of His fullness. I hate the terminology. It's another message, but I just hate the terminology, they accepted Christ. I don't find that anywhere in Scripture. Receiving. I received Christ. And I was passive in that. And it's grace upon grace. He has all fullness. He has all fullness tonight. Right at this very moment. All fullness dwells in Him. Most people here this evening have received of that fullness. In other words, most people here know the Lord as their Savior. And if there be someone here that doesn't, His fullness hasn't run out. There's still all fullness for you. And it'll be there till you take your last breath. He is someone that you can turn to. All fullness. How sad. You know, people say all the time, oh, I'm encouraged, they're searching. I don't know that that's so encouraging. What are they searching for? What are they searching for? That's the problem. And then, even if they're searching for the right thing, they're going to all the wrong places. There's only one place. Jesus Christ. Let us never be ashamed to point all men, women, boys and girls to Jesus Christ. That's what they need. If they're unsaved, that's what they need. If they're saved, then whatever their circumstances are, however dire they might be, that's what they need. Because that's where all fullness dwells. So why? Why would you who have experienced of His fullness, why would we look anywhere else? Why would we even search anywhere else? Jesus said to the women, why look ye for the living amongst the dead? You're searching the wrong place. They went to the tomb expecting to find Him. They went to the wrong place. God's people do that all the time. God help us to know that we have someone to turn to. and he has fullness, and he has all fullness. And I can personally receive of that fullness. And every time I do, it makes a difference in my life. And it makes a difference in yours. Brother Larry, if you'd come and lead us in verse 7.